Title: Distortion Amount Rides on Bass Sensors Intermediate. Alright, let's get into a really practical, very working producer technique for rolling drum and bass. Riding distortion amount on your bass sensors. The core idea is simple. In a call and response bass line, your question phrase needs to be controlled and mixable, and your answer phrase needs to talk back. More attitude, more urgency, more forward in the mids. And you don't want to redesign the patch every time you want that contrast. You want one knob, automated, that makes the answer feel ruder without the whole bass just getting louder and tricking you. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a bass chain with a stable foundation, and then a dedicated answer distortion stage that you can ride with automation. And we'll do it in a way that's gain compensated, musical, and drum and bass safe, meaning the sub stays solid while the mids get to misbehave. First, set up the musical context so the technique actually makes sense. Create a MIDI track with your bass instrument. Wave Eatable is great because it's clean and controllable. Operator is also perfect because it can do stable sub and some bite with FM. Any bass rack works, but start with something you can hear clearly in the mids. Now write a 2-bar loop, classic D&B structure. Bar 1 is your question, simpler, groove-focused, not too dramatic. Bar 2 is your answer, maybe the same rhythm but with a pitch tweak, an extra ghost note, or just a slightly different ending. The important part is you can clearly point to moments and say, that's the answer. That's where I want extra aggression. One quick note, keep the sub note stable. You can do variations in the mids, but the low end has to feel like it's holding the track down. That's the whole game in D&B. Now we build the foundation chain. This is the don't break the mix part. Start with EQ 8 first. High pass gently around 20 to 30 Hz. That's not about making it thin. It's just cleaning out rumble that eats headroom. If the bass feels boxy or cloudy, do a tiny dip somewhere in the 200 to 400 Hz region. Tiny, like you're not carving a turkey here. Next, add saturator for bass warmth. Soft sine or analog clip are both great starting modes. Drive maybe 2 to 5 dB. And this is important. Match the output so, when you bypass it, it's roughly the same loudness. Otherwise, your brain will pick louder every time and you'll end up overcooking everything. Soft clip is often a yes for D&B bass, because it helps catch peaks and makes the tone feel more record-like. Optionally, add auto filter if you want quick tone control. Low pass 12 or 24 dB slope, and set it so you're not letting fizzy top end take over. And optionally a compressor for stability, something gentle, ratio 2:1:4:1. Slower attack, medium release, just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is not your sidechain yet, this is just stay consistent. At this point, your bass should feel like it could sit in a mix for a whole track. Controlled, reliable, maybe even a little boring. Good, because now we add the fun part. After that foundation, add a dedicated distortion device that's only there for the answer ride. This separation matters mentally. It keeps you from constantly tweaking the main patch. If you have roar, that's a fantastic modern choice. If not, pedal, overdrive, amp, or even another saturator can work. The point is, one main distortion stage that you will automate. Let's pick a common option. With roar, start with a tube or overdrive style. Set drive somewhere you can clearly hear it, but not so much that it turns into a white noise cloud. Mix can be 60 to 100% depending on how heavy you want it. Then set output so the device isn't wildly jumping in level. With pedal, set it to overdrive mode, drive around 20 to 40%, tone around 55 to 70 if you want more spit and presence. Again, adjust output to compensate. Now we make this automation friendly, because writing a device parameter raw can be messy. We're going to build a macro that feels like one answer aggro knob, and we're going to include level compensation so you don't get fooled. Select your distortion device and group it into an Audino effect rack. Then put a utility after the distortion inside that rack. Map the distortion drive parameter to macro 1. Then map utility gain to that same macro 1, but inversely, so as drive goes up, gain goes down a bit. A practical starting point. Name macro 1 answer drive. If you're using pedal, maybe map drive from 15% up to about 45%. If roar, maybe 10% up to 35%. Then map utility gain from 0 dB down to about minus 4 dB. This is huge. You're removing the it's louder so it's better trap. Because what you actually want is more density, more harmonic content, more forward mids, not just more volume. Optional but very effective. Add an EQ8 after the distortion and map a gentle high shelf to the same macro. Something like 3 to 5 kHz, going from 0 to plus 2 dB. That helps answers speak, but do it subtly. Too much and it turns to harsh sandpaper real fast in drum and bass. Before we automate, A quick coaching tip, set your macro range so the sweet spot is in the middle. You don't want a knob, where 0 to 30% does nothing and 70 to 100% is unusable. Adjust the mapping ranges so that around 30 to 70% is where it sounds best. That way automation has nuance. Now automate the ride on the answer phrase. You've got two good approaches in Ableton. Arrangement automation for writing the full track and clip envelopes for loop-based variation. Let's do arrangement automation first. Go to Arrangement View and press it to show automation lanes. On your bass track, choose automation for your audio effect rack macro 1. Answer drive. Now, keep the question phrase lower, maybe 20 to 35%. Then push the answer phrase higher, maybe 55 to 80%, depending on how you mapped it. Don't worry about the exact numbers. Listen for the moment where the answer steps forward without sounding like the bass suddenly doubled in size. A really good DNB arranging move is to make bigger answer rides every 4 or 8 bars. So you have answers inside answers, like phrase hierarchy. The bass feels like it's getting more intense, even if the notes barely change. If you're more of a loop builder, clip envelopes are your friend. Open the MIDI clip. Go to Envelopes, select Device, Audio Effect Rack, Control, Macro 1. Then draw the movement inside the clip. Try two styles. 1. Short spikes on individual answer notes, like a little punch of drive right on the hit. 2. A longer ramp across bar 2 so the answer revolves and feels like it's leaning forward. Now, this is where the technique becomes musical instead of I drew random automation. Automation shape matters more than the maximum value. A common sweet curve for bass answers is a short pre-hit ramp, about 10 to 40 milliseconds, so the distortion is already arriving as the note hits. Then a fast peak at the onset. Then a slight decay over 80 to 200 milliseconds so it doesn't smear into the groove. That decay is the secret sauce. It keeps articulation. It lets the bass speak, and then get out of the way for the next kick or snare moment. Also, don't do instant square jumps unless you want audible clicks or zipper vibes. Even tiny ramps can make it feel like performance instead of editing. Next, the big DNB rule. Keep the sub solid while the mids go wild. Distortion loves to mess with low end definition. It can flatten the sub, make it fuzzy, and in some cases introduce phase weirdness that kills your mono punch. The clean solution is a band split. Create an audio effect rack with two chains, one called SUB, one called mids. Put an EQ8 on each chain. On the SUB chain, low pass around 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. On the mids chain, high pass around 120 Hz, also steep. Now put your automated distortion rack only on the mids chain. Keep the SUB mostly clean. If you want, add a very light saturator on the sub, like 1 to 2 dB max, but be careful. This way, when you crank the answer drive, the sub stays authoritative and predictable, while the mids do the talking. That is how you get gnarly but still pro in drum and bass. Now make the answer reply to the drums. As you add distortion, you create more mid energy, and that can fight the kick and the groove if it's not controlled. So add sidechain compression, either on the full bass or just on the mids chain. Use a compressor with sidechain input from the kick. Starting settings, ratio around 4:1, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on tempo, and aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. The idea is, the answer gets more aggressive, but the kick still punches through and the bass sits in the pocket. Now a couple of quick sanity checks that separate sounds cool right now from translates everywhere. First, calibrate the ride against loudness. Not just vibes. Loop only the question. Then loop only the answer. Look at your channel meter, or better, a loudness meter if you have one. You want the answer to feel more present without consistently peaking much higher. If it needs to be louder, make it intentional and small, like plus 0.5 to plus 1.5 dB, not plus 4. Second, do an aliasing sanity check. Some drive settings create brittle top end that sounds exciting loud and painfully harsh at normal volume. If your distortion device has oversampling or high quality, try it. If not, keep a gentle low pass after the distortion ready to tame the fizz. Third, check mono. Put utility on the master and hit mono. If the answer suddenly disappears, it's usually facey mids, not the sub. Reduce stereo widening on the distorted band, and be cautious with chorus or echo. Sometimes moving modulation effects pre or post distortion changes the phase behavior a lot, so experiment and recheck. All right. Let's talk about common mistakes so you can avoid losing an hour to confusion. 1. Riding drive without gain compensation. That's the biggest one. You end up thinking the answer is better, but it's just louder. 2. Distorting the sub. That's how you get flabby low-end and weak mono. 3. Over-automating everything. If every note is special, nothing is. Make the answer special. Make phrase ending special. Leave the rest stable. 4. Harsh top end. Fix with post-EQ, gentle low pass, or dynamic control. 5. Automation that's too abrupt. Use ramps and curves so the movement feels performed. Now, if you want to take it a step further, here are a few advanced variations you can try once the basic system is working. 1 is a two-stage macro approach, a subtle saturation stage that's always on for tone, then a second distortion stage that's the automated answer push. This keeps your core tone stable while still getting aggression on demand. Another modern trick is linking drive and dynamics. Map your macro to increase drive and also slightly lower a compressor threshold after the distortion. So when the answer gets more distorted, it also gets gently caught. That gives you aggression without runaway spikes. And a super controlled method is parallel distortion. Put distortion on a parallel chain and automate the chain volume instead of slamming the drive parameter. The clean chain stays steady, the distorted chain fades in on answers. This often keeps transients cleaner and feels more mix-ready. Now let's lock it in with a quick 15-minute practice exercise. Build an 8-bar rolling loop, kick and snare, hats and shuffles, and one bass MIDI clip that repeats a 2-bar call and answer. Build the rack, foundation chain, then the answer distortion stage grouped with utility compensation. Then automate macro 1 across the 8 bars like this. Bars 1 to 2, low drive on the question, moderate on answers. Bars 3 to 4, a little more drive on the answers. Bars 5 to 6, biggest answer drive. Bars 7 to 8, pull it back to reset tension. This audio version is shortened for playback.